It's always nice when you're dealing with a topic to be able to find and use one significant verse, but I don't have that this morning. I have a topic, and the topic is faithfulness and the development of faithfulness in our children. So let us pray and ask the blessing of God upon the ministry of His holy and infallible or faithful word. Our Father, once again, we bow in your holy presence. And as we do, we are very deeply aware that we need and must experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in order to profit this morning. We thank you that we sense that in the past you have been pleased often to come here and bless us. And we do not take that for granted. On the other hand, Father, the mercies of last week will not help us this morning. We need you. We need your power. We need your presence and grace. And we plead that that power, presence, and grace would be known through your holy, almighty word, and that you would be pleased to come and use that word to break hearts and feed hearts and comfort hearts and glorify the name of Jesus in every soul. We ask it through him. Amen. Now, just very briefly, a word of orientation. To put it in perspective, we're looking at the goal. What are we trying to accomplish? Why are we developing character in our children? And we saw that character has roots that go down deep, like the roots of a tree. The tap roots being the fear of God and listening to your parents and avoiding the influence of the wicked. And it has a trunk, and that trunk is self-control. That is a life, an entire life, a way of life that is regulated by the power and influence of the Word and Spirit of God in every aspect of life. Then the branches of the tree, the leaves and branches. Godliness, being like God. And what is God like? God's goodness, God's holiness, God's justice, God's faithfulness. God is faithful. God is holy. God is good. God is just. So we want to start today with the fact that like God, so also we should be faithful. And like God is faithful, so not only should we be faithful, but should seek to develop faithfulness in our children. That's the whole point. That's all of it in perspective. I think that probably took a minute or less. Now, having said that, where do we go? Now, here's where I struggle a little bit. Because there's part of me wants to do this inductively. You know what that means? That's a big word, right, kids? Inductively. You know what it means? As opposed to deductively. You know what that is? Now, inductively, that means this. If we do it inductively, it means we go together to all the different passages of Scripture. We go through a whole bunch of Old Testament passages, a whole bunch of New Testament passages, and then we wait to the end, and then we summarize the points that we want to say. I struggle because I like that. I like doing that. But on the other hand, if we do it deductively, then I state principles at the outset, and then we go to various passages here, there, the other where to prove it. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's okay, but I don't like that as much. I prefer the other. And yet, what that means is you don't really see the big picture until you get all the way to the end. And that's the struggle with doing it inductively, understand? So here I am then torn. On this side, I want to do it inductively. On this side, I want to do it deductively. And I keep running back and forth in my head between one side and the other. So I'll just give you a few things. I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll do it by going through the passages. But I want to tell you what we're looking for. Is that okay? Will that help? Let's see. What we're looking for is, if you're going to train your children to be faithful, do you think that you should know what faithfulness is? Duh. Right. I would agree. So if you're going to be faithful, you have to at least know the idea, what it means. Because if you don't even know what you're looking at, there's no way you're going to hit it. So you got to know what you're looking for. Then the other things would be not only what is it, but what are the characteristics of it and how do you get it? I mean, how do you become faithful? What is the difference between a faithful person and an unfaithful person? And what do you have to do in order to develop and cultivate greater faithfulness in your own heart and life? I mean, don't you think those are also relevant subjects and questions to be answered and addressed, right? Would you agree? All right. So what is faithfulness? And how can you tell faithfulness when you see it? And then what do you do in order to be and become more faithful and to help your children to be and become more faithful? Now, as we go through these various texts, keep these deductive questions in mind. We're trying to find an answer to the question, what is faithfulness? Trying to find an answer to the question, how can you spot faithfulness? What are its characteristics? And then we're trying to find an answer to the question, how can you develop and cultivate greater measures of faithfulness? Agreed? So, one other point. So what? What's the big deal about faithfulness? Is faithfulness important? Does faithfulness matter? If it matters, why does it matter? Why is it important? What difference does it make? Right? You understand? Okay. With that end in view, let's look at Psalm 101, verse 6. Psalm 101, verse 6. Context. David, the righteous king. And how he will treat people with whom he has relations. How he himself will behave, and those people with whom he will surround himself, the people that he will set himself against. He says in verse 4, a perverse heart will depart from me. I will know no evil thing. And accordingly, whoso privately slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Him that has a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall minister to me. He that works deceit will not dwell within my house. He that speaks falsehood shall not be established before my eyes. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked from the land to cut off the workers of iniquity from the city of the Lord. So here's a righteous king. He doesn't want the wicked to have influence in his regime, in his administration. He wants the people identified with him that surround him, his advisors, his counselors, the people to whom he delegates responsibility for governing the country, for leading the people. He wants these people not to be evil and wicked. People like that he will bring down. He will remove from office and influence. He will do everything in his power to limit the influence and impact of such people on society. And what kind of people will he promote? Who does he want around him? What are the characteristics of people that he wants to give a high profile in his government and administration? Verse 6, mine eyes shall be upon the what? The faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way. Now, this is not talking about perfectionism, but the idea is associated with fullness, with completion, with that which is acceptable to God. And the idea is that of spiritual maturity that is working itself out according to the principles of the Word of God in every area of life. It is a complete and thorough application of the Word of God, a comprehensive godliness would be another way to put it. A comprehensive or complete godliness that touches upon every area and aspect of life and that regulates life according to the principles of the Word. And he says, someone that is faithful. These are the kind of people that I want in office under me. These are the kind of people to whom I want to delegate responsibility to be ministers in my administration. I want faithful people to be the leaders of the Department of the Interior and the Department of the Treasury and to be the head of the Department of State. And to be the military commander over my troops, etc. I want people that are faithful. What does that mean? People who are honest. People who are reliable. People that I can count on to tell me the truth. And when I give them a responsibility, to carry it out in a timely way. Those are the kind of people to whom I want to delegate authority. And I don't want people around me that I can't count on. People that don't tell me the truth. People that aren't reliable. People that say one thing and do something else. I don't want unfaithful, unreliable people in influence in my administration. I want the faithful of the land. And that faithfulness associated with a comprehensive, complete godliness. So, doesn't actually precisely tell us what faithfulness is, but you see from the context, the general idea, and also the tremendous importance of it. The connection between faithfulness and influence, faithfulness and success, faithfulness and advancement, faithfulness and leadership. Make sense? It's true in every aspect of life. And as we'll see when we get to the book of Proverbs, young men, especially, okay, young men, especially it applies to you. Now, you're going to go out into the business world and either you're going to have your own businesses or you're going to work for somebody else. And when you do that, you want to succeed or you want to be failures. Which do you want? You want to be a success or a failure? You do? You sure? Then I would submit to you that it would be important to understand what faithfulness is, because without faithfulness, whether you're either a businessman or you work for somebody else, you're not going to be a success. You're going to be a failure. I guarantee it. And as we go to these passages in the book of Proverbs, with faithfulness, you will be a success. With faithfulness, you'll be the kind of young man that a king would want to be in his administration. And without it, you're not going to be a success, but you're going to fail. You're going to fail in business. You're going to fail in school. You're going to fail in whatever you do if you're not faithful. That's the way it is. And these passages in the book of Proverbs are going to show you why. And that's why it's so important as parents that we inculcate and attempt to develop faithfulness in our children. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. Now, you see if I'm right, and we go through these various passages in the book of Proverbs that present the subject of faithfulness and what it's about and why it matters. Okay, faithfulness as described in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. And similar to this, very closely connected with this text, I'm not going to turn you to it, I'm just going to read it. It says, he that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore do not company with him that opens wide his lips. So, faithfulness, first of all, has to do with your words. Has to do with what comes out of your mouth. Or, in this case, what doesn't come out of your mouth. Now, I know, we live in a day in which we have a society of cynics, largely speaking, particularly in the news media, and a society of cynicism that is largely concerned with everything being covered up, covered up, covered up, covered up, covered up. But the fact that there are at times unlawful and inappropriate cover-ups does not mean that we should therefore just be blabbing every secret thing we know to everybody and anybody just because somebody is curious to know it. In fact, a faithful person keeps secrets. He doesn't keep secrets because he's covering his own sin. Although in some cases, a prudent man conceals shame, the shame of others. It's no great virtue to go blab everything you know to everybody and anybody, period. So you can always tell people the secret things that nobody knows but you. Now it says, the talebearer goes about blabbing all the time, so therefore do not company with him that opens wide his lips. Don't be friends with a person who doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. Because if you do, all of your secrets are going to get blabbed abroad. Now the issue with talebearing and keeping secrets is this. There are some things that people have no need to know and no right to know. And if they don't need to know it and they don't have the right to know it, and it involves somebody else, then don't tell them. Don't say it. Keep it secret. This has to do with discretion. So a faithful man, one of the first things you learn about a faithful man is not that he says everything he knows, but that a faithful man knows how to keep, knows how and when to keep his mouth shut. Now, you got to be careful with this because we live in an age of gangster ethics. That's what I call it. Gangster ethics. You know what gangster ethics are? You guys, you know what gangster ethics are? You know what that means? Right? The ethics of the drug underworld and of the gangster, what is that? What happens to people who snitch? You snitch, what happens to you? You die, right, that's it. Gangster ethics of the drug underworld. If you snitch, you die. If you snitch, you die. Now, snitch, and this is very interesting, isn't it? Because snitch means if you go to the authorities and inform them of our illegal activity, we will kill you. That's what that means. Right? So, when you talk about snitching and you're talking about talebearing, you have to understand the concept of authority and loyalty or you can't get at it. So what the gangster is saying, what the gang is saying, what the drug culture is saying is, or the pusher is saying, whoever it is, he's saying, if you are not loyal to me and to our criminal gang, and if you go to the authorities with this information about us, we will kill you. Now, that's not what the text is talking about. The text is not saying that you have to have a gangster mentality, that you have to have the ethics of the drug underworld. The text is not calling Christians and believers in the Word of God to enter into the ethics of the gangster and the drug underworld. That's not what it's about. What it's about talebearing in a way that you bring secrets about others to people who don't have the right to know it and don't have the need to know it. But what if there's a situation in which someone in your family is doing things that your parents should know about? What if there's a situation like that? And you go snitch. Well, you may be violating the ethics of the gangster underworld, but you're not violating the Word of God. Because why? Because some things parents have the right to know, and parents have the need to know, and it's not talebearing to bring the information to them that they have the right to and the need to. Now, that's not the same as saying that if you're having a squabble with your brother or sister, you go and tell them half the story. He hit me. She took my baby. It's not talking about that kind of business. But it is talking about having information about people that those in authority need to know and have the right to know, but you won't tell them because you have a gangster ethic. Now, don't use this text to justify that. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about keeping secrets, not saying things about people that other people don't have the need or right to know. That's part of faithfulness. So faithfulness has to do, first of all, according to this text, with what you don't say. You don't go telling other people's secrets to those who don't have the need to know and don't have the right to know. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, verse 17. A wicked messenger falls into evil, but a faithful ambassador is health. Now, a faithful ambassador. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is sent to represent someone else. Someone sent with a message. Someone sent with a commission. Someone sent with an authorization. Take me a message from somebody. Bring me a message. Send this message to. That's the idea of ambassador. So first of all, it means that the ambassador gets the message straight. And it means that he gets it there on time. And it means that he takes it to the right people. And it means that he conveys the right message at the right time to the right people. And the result of that is, I can count on him. Well, what if you say, but I sent a message. Didn't it get there? Nope, never got there. I sent this message. What message did you get? Oh, that's not what I heard. I heard something else. But I told him to say this, but that's not what he said. You send somebody with a message. Does the message ever get there? Does it get there on time? Does it get there 3 weeks late, 4 weeks late, 5 weeks late? I sure wish I'd have heard this 3 weeks ago when I needed the information. A faithful ambassador, one entrusted with a message to bring, he brings the message, and he brings the message in a timely way to the right people. And the result is health. On the other hand, the wicked messenger falls into evil. Now, he was going to bring the message, but, you know, at first he thought he'd stop off and have a drink. And then, you know, one drink turned into two, turned into three, turned into four, he got drunk. And then he had all kinds of problems after that because he was going to go, and he'd smash his car into a tree, and he'd go on and on and on. But he didn't make a priority. He didn't take to heart as a matter of priority that he had to bring this message on time. He got sidetracked. He got doing other things. He figured, oh, I'll get the message there later and I'm worried about it. No big deal. And he falls into this and he falls into that and he falls to the other thing. And there's all kinds of trouble on the way. And the message never gets there. It doesn't get there on time. It gets all twisted around. And there's trouble. Because the guy's wicked. He's not faithful. So faithfulness has to do with carrying out responsibilities. It has to do with stewardship. It has to do with doing what you have been commissioned to do and doing it in a timely and conscionable manner. That's what it means. A faithful messenger does that. Gets the message straight, on time, right people. The wicked one does not. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5. Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness utters lies. So, faithfulness doesn't only have to do with your words, what you don't say, but it also has to do with your words, what you do say. A faithful witness will not lie. In other words, a faithful witness tells the truth. A faithful witness gets the facts straight. A faithful witness does not distort the facts, misrepresent the facts, change the facts. But a faithful witness gives the facts and he gives them straight. He doesn't distort it. He doesn't change it in order to make himself look good and somebody else look bad. All the reasons why people lie. But faithful witnesses don't lie. You can count on faithful witnesses to tell you the truth. Why do people lie? What's behind it? Why do they lie? People lie in order to hurt others. People lie in order to obtain treasures. People lie in order to cover over their own sins, in order to avoid rebuke or to avoid punishment, because they're afraid of the consequences of telling the truth, and so they tell lies. But faithful people, faithful witnesses, speak truth. They don't speak lies. They tell it just the way it is. That's what faithfulness involves. And that's the faithfulness of God. But you want a big word for that? I'll give you a big word. The veracity of God means that God always tells the truth. God always tells the truth. That's the faithfulness of God. God always tells the truth. He always says the truth. God cannot lie. And it's part of His faithfulness, His veracity, and closely connected to it, His reliability. God always keeps His word. He keeps His promises. When He makes a commitment, when He makes a promise, He follows through with it. That's His faithfulness. The faithfulness of God, His veracity and His reliability. The word of God is true, and the word and the promise of God is reliable. The word of God is true and the promise of God reliable. And that veracity and reliability is reflected in a faithful witness. If a person says, I will do this, he makes a promise, doesn't break it, but he keeps it. In one of the Psalms, Psalm 15, verse 4, it says, the righteous swears to his own hurt, doesn't go back. He makes a commitment. He makes a promise. He sticks by that promise, even though it's not in his best interest to do it. He does it anyway because he's faithful. And when he tells you something, what he tells you is true. Now, can you understand why in the business world, if your word is no good, you are not going to be successful? You understand this, young man? You understand why, if you're dishonest, if you're a liar, you're not going to make it, either as a businessman or working for somebody? If you're not reliable, and you're not honest, you're not going to make it. This is why. Now, you see the different things that people lie about. People lie in order to make money. So in other words, when they quote you, they give you one quote, and when you come to pay, they charge you more. That's not honest. Okay, I'll pay you your extra whatever you want, but I'll never do business with you again. Why not? Because you're not honest. You gave me a quote, and then you did the job, and then I came to pay you, and now you want to charge me more. Okay, here's your money. Never, ever will I do business with you again. Why not? Not reliable, not honest. You quoted one thing, the getting of treasures by lying lips. That's why people lie. They lie in order to make money. Or they lie in order to cover sin. Or they lie in order to hurt people. The lying tongue hates the person that it wounded. The one that hates is of lying lips. Or he that conceals hatred has lying lips. Concealing hatred comes out of, it results in lying. People tell lies about people in order to hurt them. And they tell lies about products and other things in business in order to make money. And when it's been found out that the things you've been saying about your product or your prices or whatever are not true, you will not succeed in business. Or the commitments you make, you don't keep them. You will not succeed. If you're supposed to be at work at such and such a time every day, you don't show up, you're not reliable. You don't count on you. You're not going to last long. You're not going to be promoted. If they can't count on you, if they can't count on what you say being true and you being someone that's reliable, you're not going to make it. You're going to be put under task work, and eventually, if they can, they'll fire you and get somebody that's reliable. So reliable has to do with your word. It has to do with what you don't say. It has to do with what you say. It has to do with being able to count on you to tell the truth and to keep your promises. That's faithfulness. Tell the truth, keep your word. That's what God does. God tells the truth and God keeps His word. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own kindness, but a faithful man who can find? Apparently, in this world, faithfulness is rare. Everybody will tell you, yeah, I'm a good guy, I'm a kind fellow, I'm all right. But you're actually looking for somebody you can count on, they're hard to find. One of the reasons why kings like faithful people is because they're so rare. It's so rare to get someone who'll tell you the truth, even if it's to his own hurt. It's rare to get someone who will do what he says he's going to do. It's rare to get someone whose prices you can trust. It's rare to get someone who's conscientious about his work. It's rare to get someone who's reliable in his commitments and his promises he keeps. This is a rare thing. It's not common. It's extraordinary. The most common thing is to lie, misquote, not do what you say you were going to do when you said you were going to do it. That's a dime a dozen. But somebody that's really reliable and honest, that is very rare. And because it's so rare, it's valuable. And because it's so rare, it is precious. Because it's so rare, it is associated with success and advancement and blessing and prosperity. And that's why it is one of the fundamentals that we should, by the grace of God, not only reflect, but also seek to inculcate in our own children. Does this make sense? The other passages, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and etc. Well, let me just, maybe there's one or two more we look at. I'll just read these. Proverbs 25:13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. A faithful messenger to those that send him refreshes the soul of his masters. And again, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are profuse. Which would you rather have? A loving friend tell you the truth, something you may not like to hear, but something you need to hear? Or people that come up to you and kiss you to your face, but behind your back, the knife. The knife. So which would you rather have? People that kiss your face and put knives in your back? Or people that to your face in love will tell you the truth about what you need to hear about yourself, even though you don't like it at the time? Obvious, isn't it? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of an enemy are profuse. So faithfulness has to do with your word and your actions. Faithfulness has to do with being reliable. Faithfulness has to do with speaking the truth and keeping your word. Faithfulness has to do with, in terms of your actions, being someone that can be counted on, someone that is reliable. So it's reliability in word and in deed. Reliability in what you say, reliability in what you do. That's the idea of faithfulness. And why is that important? Do you want to hire somebody that's not reliable and honest in your business? Do you want to do business with a man who's not reliable and honest? Duh. Do you? Do you want to hire somebody like that? You want to do business with somebody like that? You can't trust what he says about the cost and everything else. You can't trust what he says about his work. You can't trust what he says about what happened and what didn't happen. You don't want to work with somebody like that because you can't trust him. You can't count on him. So this is what it is. It's reliability in word and in action. This is faithfulness. Now, the New Testament has an interesting perspective on this subject. Let's turn to the New Testament. So how do we do in an answer to our questions? Do you have a pretty good idea what faithfulness is? How are we doing? You all right? You got an idea what it is and why it's important? Yes, so far? You got that part? Okay. All right, so maybe this inductive method will work after all. But now, let's look at some of the New Testament passages. And where do I want to start? Well, let's start in the Gospels. We'll start with Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 says, verse 45. Matthew 24, 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, will find so doing. Verily, I say to you, he will set him over all that he has. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my Lord tarries and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he doesn't expect it, in an hour when he doesn't know, etc. It won't be good for him. Now, who is that faithful and wise steward? That faithful and wise servant. Now, keep that in mind when we read the next passages, okay? Matthew 25, verse 21. Again, the idea of stewardship. And he says in verse 21 to his servant, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And again, he says the same in a few verses down in verse 23. But then verse 25 says, the slothful servant, I was afraid. I went away and hid your talent in the earth. And the Lord answered, said, you wicked, slothful servant. You knew, and etc. Now, Luke chapter 12 also opens up this subject. Luke chapter 12. And I'm reading all these servant passages together because there's a lot in here about the very essence of faithfulness in practice and how to cultivate it. And I'm reading these passages together for that purpose because they're all servant passages and it tells us something very crucial. Luke chapter 12, starting verse 42 and reading on to the end of it, it says, similarly, the Lord said, who is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall set over his household? Blessed is that servant, etc. See verse 43, very similar to Matthew. You see that? But then verse 47, and that servant, verse 47, who knew his Lord's will and did not make ready nor did according to his will shall be beaten, etc. And it's making the contrast between the one who knew and the one who didn't know. Now, here's the idea. Oh, I'm going to read one more stewardship passage. One more stewardship passage. And that's in 1 Corinthians. We'll read one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I know I'm hastening. There's so much in the scripture on this. And this is the very point, the connection of all these passages. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. So a steward has to be reliable. And that tells us something about faithfulness. So let's get the idea. Life is a stewardship. Life is a stewardship. Every one of us is accountable to a master. And no man can serve two masters. He either loves the one and hates the other. And these passages make that clear. So the first thing you got to get straight, if you're going to be faithful, is who your master is. And who's giving you the orders. Because there can be all kinds of people making competing demands upon your life. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And if you go around saying yes, 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 sooner or later, You're going to run out of time, talent, and energy. You simply cannot be everybody's slave or steward. Everybody cannot be your master. No matter how much you might want to please everybody, help everybody, you cannot have everybody in control of your life. You have to have a steward. You have to have a master. And to that master, you have to be loyal. And that kind of loyalty to your master, to the stewardship that is fundamental and foundational in your life, is the ground and foundation of faithfulness. There's no faithfulness without a proper sense of accountability and stewardship. You've got to know clearly who your master is, and then the next thing goes out of it. The one who knew his master's will. Not only loyalty, but also responsibility. You've got to know what the master wants you to do. What did the master in these passages tell him to do? He said that he's supposed to feed his household. So that's my stewardship. That's my responsibility. Feed the kids. So if those kids, when the master comes home, are not fed, I'm not being faithful. Because my responsibility, let's just say, was not to cut the grass, was not to knock down the tree, was not to build a wall. My responsibility was feed the kids. That's what he gave me to do. That was my stewardship. So I was busy doing everything else and we got hungry kids. Is that faithful or unfaithful? Oh, but the stuff I was doing, it was important. Yeah, it was, but it wasn't what you were supposed to be doing. You were supposed to be feeding the kids. And the kids are not fed. What's my point? My point is, the way to be faithful is to understand who your master is and to be loyal to that master, and also to know the master's will. You have to know what's expected of you. That's why it's so difficult to work for people who don't make their expectations clear. That's why it's so difficult for people to work when they have six different masters. We used to have a situation like that in the engineering department, in the project department, at the company I worked for many, many years ago. But I still remember that there were these project managers and project engineers, and then there were these poor people called secretaries. And the problem with the secretaries was that there were secretaries sitting out in front of each project manager's office, but anybody could come up and just dump something on the lady's desk. Boom, 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 boom. So what's she supposed to do? Whose work is she supposed to do first? Go do my work, do my work, do my work, do my work. No woman can serve two masters in an office. Don't work that way. Poor woman goes nuts. So you have to have clear understanding of the lines of responsibility, accountability, loyalty, and stewardship. Or you're not going to have faithfulness by definition. Then this guy's coming saying, where's my work? Where's my work? Where's my work? Where's my work? And she should be able to say with a smile, I don't report to you. You can't dump this on my desk. Go dump it on her desk. She reports to you. But the problem was, some guys had more work than one secretary could handle, so they dump it on the other. And some guys didn't have a secretary, so they dump it too. And the results, you can figure it out. But nobody can serve two masters. You've got to have a sense of who your master is and what your master expects. And that's where loyalty and responsibility are the roots of faithfulness. Does this make sense? Because then you only have so much talent, you only have so much time, you only have so much energy, right? Unless you're God, then you have endless talent, time, and energy. But guess what? You're not God. I'm not God. I don't have endless talent, time, and energy. So if I don't have a sense of stewardship and know what to say yes about and what to say no about, then I'm not going to be a faithful man. It's not possible. Because I am not omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent. And so I have to set limits. And those limits have to be set by my priorities. And my priority has to be set by my responsibility and my loyalty. And that's what stewardship is about. I have to know who my master is and be loyal to him and know what he expects. And that's my responsibility. And then my priority is to get done what my master wants me to do when he wants me to do it and do it right. That's it. And that's why stewardship is so important. It's essential to understanding faithfulness. And why without stewardship and a concept of stewardship, you cannot possibly have faithfulness. Cannot. So, if life is a stewardship, ask yourself, what is my stewardship? Who is my master? What is my stewardship to God at this point in my life and in every area of my life? And what is God's will? What does God's word reveal that He wants me to do? Now, if you got that clear, then to be faithful, you set your priorities so that you find, let's say, make the time to do the things that it is clearly the will of your master, the Lord, to do. And that's how you should see the whole of your life. You should see it as a stewardship of grace before the Lord. Is that how you see your life? That's how you should teach your children to see their lives. Because that's the root of faithfulness. Stewardship. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Accountability, loyalty, responsibility, knowing the master's will. Master, what do you want from me? Those are the things I'll make the time to do. And then with that sense of my own priorities and a sense of my own limitations, I know when to say yes and when to say no. And that's something that you have to learn. I suppose anybody that wants to help people and please people and be a nice guy has from time to time said yes when he should have said no. And thought, well, I could do that, but you know what? I couldn't. Or I shouldn't. Because I sacrificed something else in order to do something for you that I shouldn't have said yes to do. I knew I shouldn't have said yes, but I just couldn't say no to you. And this kind of thing. Now, that's something that you learn. Stewardship and faithfulness is learned by experience. But in order to learn it, you have to have a clear sense of loyalty and a clear sense of responsibility. See, that's the whole business with snitching and the drug underworld. That's what they're telling you. They're telling you this is about loyalty. You have to be loyal to this gang or else loyalty, disloyalty, is punishable by death. So where's your loyalty? Is your loyalty to your family? In some sense, it should be. Is your loyalty to the church? In some sense, it should be. Is your loyalty to the Lord? Ultimately, it must be to the Lord. And then there are certain loyalties and responsibilities that God has given us in the family, and certain loyalties and responsibilities that God has given us as citizens of the state, and certain loyalties and responsibilities that God has given us as members of the church. And we need to clearly know what those are. But our ultimate stewardship and loyalty is to whom? It's to the Lord. So without being right with the Lord and knowing the Lord and being faithful to Him first and foremost, you cannot possibly be a faithful person. It's just not possible, because the foundation of faithfulness is a stewardship to the Lord and, as appropriate, loyalty to the Lord. And then within those various spheres of delegated responsibility and loyalty, loyalty as appropriate to family and to church and to the state of which we are citizens. Does this make sense? Now, that's what we have to try to teach our kids. And there's one other passage I'd like to turn you to. And that is, I've kind of alluded to it, and it's in Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, last text for this morning. Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And he that is unrighteous in a very little is unrighteous also in much. Faithfulness is not developed in a day. It doesn't start with big issues and big responsibilities and big stewardships. It starts with little issues and little responsibilities and little stewardships. And it starts line by line, precept by precept, day by day. It starts by parents making known to children what their will is, what they want, what they expect, and then following after, watching after it, that those children are doing those little things that they are expected to do day by day. It comes from commending, doing what you're supposed to be doing, commending, telling the truth, commending, appropriate keeping of your word, and being responsible to the things that you are supposed to do, even if they're small, little, tiny things. Because character is developed through a mountain of molehills of tiny little things that you do day after day after day after day that then become patterns of behavior. And that doesn't start when you're 20 or 25. It starts like when you're 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. having clear understanding of what your parent expects, and then clearly seeing that they do it in the little things. Pay attention to little things. Don't say, oh, that's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. You're right. It's just a little thing. I'm not going to say it's a big thing, because it's not. It's just a little thing. But the one that is faithful in the little thing is faithful also in much. Faithfulness is learned in the little things. Little bit at a time, day by day. So that's one of the things I would say. Now, okay, how do you inculcate it? How do you do it? What is it? It's reliability. Reliability of your word, reliability in your action. It means telling the truth and keeping your promises. It means being someone you can count on. Why is it important? How do you develop it? Day at a time. Little things. Convey a sense of stewardship, responsibility, and loyalty. Loyalty and stewardship. And knowing clearly what the will of the master is, what's expected. And then knowing who you should be loyal, to whom you should be loyal, and what they expect. That sets the priorities of life. Teaching that to your children one day at a time, one little job at a time. Make sense? Well, that's what I wanted to say this morning to you about faithfulness. May God be pleased to bless His holy word to our benefit and to the benefit of our children. And just obviously, but I want to say it anyway, there's no possible way that any man, woman, boy, or girl is capable of doing this in their own strength. In order to be faithful, we need the grace of God. We are shut up to Him for grace. So let us pray to that end. Our Father, we thank You for Your holy word. Thank You that it is very clear about faithfulness, how You are faithful, the reliable God who always speaks the truth, who always keeps Your promise, that Your promise is reliable and faithful, and we bless You for that. We pray, Father, that in our own lives we would reflect Your faithfulness, that we would be more like You day by day. We pray that You would give us the wisdom and the grace to develop this characteristic in our own children, that they would grow up to be honest and reliable, that they would grow up to be faithful in word and in action so that they could be counted on, and they would have this rare grace developed in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, that You would make them greatly influential for Your glory to spread the kingdom and name of Jesus Christ, that they would be a good testimony before a watching world that recognizes how increasingly rare faithfulness really is. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.